Spooky Sisters may contain vulgar, inappropriate, and random content. Please proceed with caution and warning.
I sent it to. I'm fine. Demonic rage.
But
there's me with my fiance. You don't get angry enough.
Yeah. I fuel other people's anger. Here, have some gum and angry chew. <That's funny. laughs> Welcome back to another episode of Spooky Sisters. My name is Melissa.
My name is Sarah. I was in the middle of chugging some wine.
And we're excited and happy to be back with you again for more A Spooky Tales.
Spooky.
Spooky. And we are...
finishing off a bottle.
Finishing off a bottle of wine right now. Well, we also had a glass before that.
I love it.
We're all fired up right now. We had quite the conversation.
We have. It's almost 9 o'clock at night.
Oh, fuck. We gotta wrap this up.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us.
You missed all the good stuff, so see you next week.
Thank God my section's short. Because usually I'm the long one.
Oh, I have two cases.
I was freaking editing. You have two?
From the same, they're both short.
Oh, okay. I thought you had two different people.
No. Same person, two different cases.
Because I was editing the last episode, the missing persons one. And I was like, damn, like, I don't finish my section until an hour into the recording.
There was a lot. There was the chickens and like.
No, that was Bermuda.
Oh, that's right. I was like, wasn't there another missing one? I was like, sometimes I forget about the Bermuda Triangle. Oh, no. I'm going to bring my feet down. I kicked the microphone and it's wriggling.
And I also love that while I'm at your house, I'm sitting in the good chair and you always bring in the kitchen chair for yourself.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about it, to be honest. I'm just like, yeah. This is my. It's because I don't sit in that chair. Tim sits in that chair, so this is never my chair.
Why don't you have your own chair?
I don't sit in here that often. This room gets hot in the day, so I usually like lay on the floor with the dog, or don't come in, or don't scum in long enough to sit down.
Sorry.
Or if we want to get real TMI, sometimes I sit in the chair.
Okay, I was laughing. I'm laughing. We're drinking Vino Verde.
Is my favorite wine.
It's a beautiful crisp. Portuguese crisp white wine.
Just barely a hint of like fizziness. This one doesn't have a touch of it.
No, you don't really have fizziness of this one.
But it feels that
minerality and citrusy notes.
I was like, I get it on my tongue, but not like sipping the wine, which is fine. It's not got a ton of, it's not like.
It's like the Kenny Chesney song, Tip of My Tongue. That's not the song.
I know
maybe
the song.
Maybe I'll slice a song in, too. She just dipped her tongue in. Maybe I'll do that with mine. Okay.
Do it!
I'm gonna fucking get myself into trouble.
take a lick.
Take a taste.
I think I snorted.
Today's episode... Today's episode is about psychics who helped solve crimes.
I'm so excited because I chose this topic.
Sarah chose a topic, and this is our 30th episode, by the way.
Happy 30!
Happy 30. It's been almost a year. August will be a year from the start of this podcast.
We have not been consistent in this.
Not last year. We've been pretty consistent once we started up this year.
Okay.
There will probably be a week or so break coming up soon because I keep talking about Emma finding a place to live. Well, I too am trying to find a place to live. And I should probably go and look at apartments because the clock is a-ticking.
Just let me know if you want help.
I'm used to looking at apartments. Like, I found all the apartments that we've lived in the past, but I've never looked at them by myself. I've never gone solo.
Let me know if you want me to go with you. You know my day's off.
True.
And my big stuff for wedding planning is kind of done. We got the invitations made.
We're doing more in the next couple days. Okay.
Edit.
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 Oh, not edit.
Oh.
I'm fine.
No. I'm fine.
Fine. Okay.
My poor fiance.
Maybe.
He took it well.
Maybe.
I said I'm fine in a text, and he came home with flowers and chocolates. Men can learn. It sort of. Mine did good.
We're gonna leave that be.
He did.
No, he's fine. He's fine. He's fine. No, that was.
Oh,
good.
I was like, no, that was right. That was the right thing to do.
Yeah, it was. Tim was good. Yay for Tim. Claps for Tim. Okay.
I don't know how he puts up with me.
So, background on psychics who help solve cases is kind of slim because Sarah's eating. It would have helped if I did actual notes on this. I might edit this too. This is gonna be a fucking shit show. I shouldn't say
Happy
that.
Happy
30! We've not gotten any better. I think
we have.
I think we have, actually.
Okay, listen, I've showed up way more.
True.
I wasn't even invited for the originals for a while.
No, you weren't.
That's actually pretty good. That's
eating,
light.
What are we eating?
I have no idea what this is. It's a strawberry
shortcake type of thing?
Yeah. It's like 260 calories, which I'm like, oh, that's a nice little light dessert.
Really?
Yeah. That's why I bought them. I'm like, oh, those are little. Like, anything under 300 calories, I'm like, oh, look at that.
So, psychics being involved in criminal cases is not super common.
Also very hard to prosecute.
Mm-hmm.
With solely that.
A psychic will, I don't want to say never, but almost never be actually credited with solving or helping solve, technically, a case.
Not in a courtroom, at least.
Not in a courtroom, because, you can't prove it. It's not, what's the word? Provable evidence?
It's kind of like a polygraph.
Okay.
It's not,
It's subjective, in a sense.
It's not hard science.
It's not hard science. Yeah, you can't measure it, see it,
mm-hmm.
taste it, touch it. I'm gonna stop.
Touching hands.
I know, I was gonna say, I caress it. Mm.
I like your taste it mention. Yummy. Yummy.
But also a lot of police and investigative forces don't trust psychics because at least half of them are full of shit. I do personally believe that there are psychics out there. I believe that there are people who have a connection or that extra kind of like sixth sense to things or clairvoyancy to that was not realm, but
plane.
That plane. But there's a lot of people who don't believe in that. And actually, the psychic in my case has not so much a 50-50% rate of helping, but she has huge success in some cases and just like an utter lack of failure in other cases. So
it's not hard science.
It's not hard science, and it's not something that works every time either, which makes it not be a hard science.
It's more of a tool
mm-hmm.
to help you reach that level.
And it's usually done in a...
It's more
extreme,
of a...
It's an extreme measure.
Some extreme measures. It's also more of an advisory type role for the police, not necessarily an investigative role.
Yes.
Except I'm really excited to tell you about my cases.
I'm excited to hear about it. I know people or families who have had someone go missing usually it's missing, are not advised to contact psychics because...
They do because
they're just really stretching. They're trying to get any type of hope they can. The psychics can lead them down different roads and take the interest away from the...
I'm pretty much... Hang on.
Just
open this because it's going to
be
loud as fuck.
Many psychics who have had
I can't get it open.
With that...
My eyes are so
right
weak.
In.
Dive right in.
Dive right in.
We're eating now.
My psychic that I'm going to be talking about is Dorothy Allison. She's pretty well known. I've heard about her before in a different podcast, actually.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Whose?
Wine and Crime.
Really?
When I was looking at being psychics
to do. They have become my guilty pleasure, by the way. Like, Amanda is, like, sometimes my spirit animal. I'm like, I love when she's like, sorry about it. That's one of my favorite things. I'm like, yeah. Oh, I meant to tell you, a long time ago, I finally reached the Justice Butterfield.
Yeah.
Episode. Sweet Justice Butterfield. I laughed so hard. I always listen. I know, and I found it. Like, I finally found it in context, and it made it all the better. And then I love to listen to him because I listen to him while I run, and then they always talk about how running is the devil, how exercise is the devil, and not to do it.
I
and I'm just laughing.
I want to email him at some point. I was like, you always say that, and like, I usually listen to you while I'm working out. And that one episode.
Oh, I had that one too. I laughed so hard. Oh, because they were these women were pressing charges against a man for raping them, but they were jealous that he didn't give them as much attention as other women he was raping or something along those lines. And I was just like, yeah, okay.
Also, I had to explain to someone at work that we don't hate men.
We're just tired of their bullshit.
Because it was after the mermaid episode. And he's like, yo, <"You're... laughs> I don't remember exactly what he said. I'm like, okay, so let me explain. And we just got out of boot camp where the men were the ones fucking up. Like, Sarah's dealing with her own fiancé situation. I'm like, mine's a deeper story. Yeah, we don't hate men. We actually enjoy men.
I'm marrying one, so.
She's marrying a man.
I'm marrying a man. And he's not necessarily, it's not necessarily him that's the problem.
Anyway.
Part of it.
He's not helping the problem.
He's not helping the problem.
Maybe now.
Now he is, but.
But, so I'm like, no, we don't hate
many,
men.
Many weeks later.
We enjoy men, actually, but.
We enjoy the pleasures of men. But the emotional struggle is real.
There. Drive us up the fucking wall!
Sometimes you just end up having to say, I'm fine.
I'm fine.
I'm fine.
I'm just fine.
I'm not contemplating your murder at home while you're at work. It's fine.
Okay, we don't listen to a lot of crime podcasts.
I totally couldn't get away with your murder. It's okay.
I'm fine. We've gotten some more followers off of Instagram, though.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so
I posted
good.
One sandwich picture.
One sandwich to the gram.
I was so proud of that picture.
The pub sub did it.
The pub sub.
The pub sub.
Oh, I forgot to tag Publix in it. I should have. Would that be wrong?
No. I tagged Hourglass Brewery. They're like, is this sponsored? I was like, no, it's not. Thanks for the reminder.
Is this sponsored? Are we a part of you? No, but would you like to be?
It was Instagram who asked.
Oh.
Also, I know in the last episode we said that we were going to have a mimosa party, but...
We are?
We're like, oh, we'll have mimosas.
Oh, for our next recording.
For our next recording. Well, obviously we didn't because it's nighttime.
I'm not going to lie. I woke up this morning thinking I was going to Orlando today.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, okay, I got up
at 4 o'clock this morning and finished these notes and packed my bag. And I texted you just to be sure.
I was totally ready to go down to Orlando today. I was like, I mean, not totally ready. I had a whole bunch of shit to do. And you actually coming up here made it so I could do a bunch more other things. I also was able to finish my research today.
Well, I got into work. Sorry. We'll get into psychiatrists. No, later. I got into work. I went in 2 hours earlier than I was scheduled to get work done that I should have been scheduled in at 6 o'clock for anyway. And I got there, and I was like, by the way, we can't do anything because half the floors are being waxed right now, and they need to dry, and we can't go in that half of the store.
I'm like, why did you not tell me this?
Because everyone found out, like, right then as well. I'm like, okay. So I just went into the break room, popped open my laptop. I'm like, let me just do some work right now.
You're like, this is fine.
I'm fine.
I'm fine.
Actually, I did get some two new haunted locations to check out.
What?
Mm-hmm. One of the guys who worked told me about two places that he's been.
Oh, I thought, I'm like, did I miss a topic?
No. One of these locations actually made him a believer in ghosts.
Oh.
So they'll be featured later in another episode. And I'll shout out Mark. Not that he listens, but
I'm a believer in ghosts. For other reasons.
Because they exist?
Yes.
It's fine. So, back to Dorothy Allison.
I have to sleep with my bedroom door shut for reasons.
Oh, that's right.
Unspeakable in the house, but you can just take it from there.
She's fine.
It's fine.
I started opening my door at night, barely, because my room gets really freaking hot.
So does ours. Ours is the hottest room in the house.
And I realized my house door helps with air circulation.
It does. You know what we can't do? Sleep with the door open.
Will it actually move?
It just leaves you with a very bad feeling.
If you've listened to past episodes, you'll know what we're talking about. And if you haven't, definitely check out past episodes.
I don't know which one. It's scattered through a lot of them, so you'll figure it out. But
maybe I'll go back and actually look into them and I'll post something in this episode on a different clip. I guess we'll find out next week.
We don't know what next week holds.
We don't know what's going on.
I do know that I do have to go to Orlando and figure out what's going on in my room and maybe sort of organize.
Please take some of your shit out so I have less things to move come next
That's
month.
My plan. Tim's going to help us. We're going to help you move. I also have to get my shit organized.
Thank you. Okay, while we still have some listeners. Dorothy Allison is a psychic. She was a highly regarded psychic living in New Jersey, in the New Jersey area, who has been credited with helping solve hundreds of investigations. By the way, don't look at my notes too hard during my section.
Okay.
Because I was literally, like last night, falling asleep while typing. And I was like, I need to stop. I'm going to have some fucked up notes in the morning.
Like, we'll just go with it.
My hours have increased at work. Which, I'm fine.
It's fine.
So, I'm very tired.
I've been
up since 4. I'm living off of caffeine and apparently alcohol. Because I have no food at home. I'm fine.
Oh, no.
I went to Publix on the way home because I literally had nothing to make for dinner.
Oh, no.
I had some cabbage.
Oh, no.
I didn't even have eggs.
Wow.
I know, it's bad.
Oh, my God. Baby, no.
Gotta keep that figure somehow.
Oh, my God. How are you not a hangry monster?
I don't know.
You're like, I'm just too tired to be hungry.
I made dinner last night because, again, I went to Publix. Anyway, if you want to know about Dorothy and not my
starvation.
Lack of food. Starvation.
There's a word for that.
Ethiopian diet. I probably cannot say that out here. Maybe I'll leave it in and we'll find out if we have any more listeners tomorrow.
YOLO.
Maybe we'll gain listeners. I don't know at this point.
Whatever. I don't even, you know what, okay. I'm here for you, not for them, so let's keep rolling.
Do you know where Dorothy was born? Don't look at my notes.
Oh!
She was born in Nutley, New Jersey.
Nutley? There's a city named Nutley?
Yep. I bet $5 there's a city out there called Balls, too.
I'm not willing to take that bet since there's a city named Nutley.
But Dorothy was born in Nutley, New Jersey on December 29th, 1924. She first became aware of her abilities at the age of 14 when she predicted her own father's death.
Lovely.
She had a vision of her father dying, and a few weeks later, he died of pneumonia.
So she had a fairly normal childhood.
Interestingly enough, she also predicted that she would never live to see the age of 75, which she told her family about.
That's actually fairly old. If she had said, like, I will never live to see 25, I'd be like, oh, shit. 75?
75's not that old. Grandpa's what?
1924?
She passed away December 1st. Ah, can't talk. 1999, at the age of 74, due to heart failure. And in case you already forgot when she was born, it was December 29th, 1924, if you care. She was 4 weeks away from turning 75.
She's probably like, I gotta make this shit happen. No one's gonna believe me.
It wasn't surprising that Dorothy was a psychic because her mother was a seer. Her mother did warn her that her abilities were a gift and that she should never use them for money.
Or evil!
Or evil.
Evil! Did she use them for money? Did she?
Unless she never got paid for helping on these future investigations. I'm assuming she ignored her mother's advice. No, I'm actually totally kidding. She did not accept payment for any of her help in the investigations. She did accept money for travel and housing expenses when she traveled to different states and other areas, and small payments for appearing on talk shows.
Okay, where did she make a living, though?
When she was married to a man named Bob.
Oh.
It was,
I mean,
no, early 1900s, she probably wasn't supposed to work.
Oh, sweet. You rack that dough in, baby. That's yours.
You take that dough, baby girl. You take that money.
You take that extra money. Tuck it away and buy you something nice.
Treat yourself.
You're working hard.
I'm either going to love editing this or cringe while editing this episode.
There's no way to know. I'm stealing that line. Because I've listened to so much Wine and Crime, I just quote them now.
I should subscribe to their Patreon with my Patreon.
All of our money.
Help me.
Help me.
By the way, check us out on Patreon. I'm only allowed to plug that 5 times.
What?
You know who you are. I'm gonna get in trouble for that.
Who?
I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding. I'll explain later.
5 times? Is that a real thing?
No.
Oh.
One of the cool... Oh, well, I'm skipping my paragraph.
I thought we were working into legalities here. I'm like, fuck, we're not... I don't really want to be sued.
I didn't study.
Listen, I'm trying to learn real estate law. I don't know podcast law.
I learn wine laws.
I have too much law shit going on.
And if... I'm sorry, this is probably going to be an episode full of bullshit, so just buckle in or turn it off, like, until you're ready.
It's like turning 30. It's bullshit.
Don't turn it off, though, please.
No, don't turn it off. Just accept it into your life.
Turn it down if you don't want to listen to it.
It's probably less bullshit than what's happening to everyone else in their real lives, so that's why you listen to podcasts. Sure. Mm-hmm. Listen to everyone else's bullshit.
Yeah, that's true. Makes you feel better about your own bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
This is horrific. Okay.
No, it's not. It's real. It's down, it's dirty, and it's real.
Dirty. Wow. Okay, so Dorothy is credited for working on more than 5,000 cases for law enforcement around the globe, which helped solve over a dozen murders and helped find over 50 missing children. Those numbers seem a little weird for 5,000 cases, but I was rolling with it.
You know, your research is still better than mine right now, considering I did not dig into the history or nothing about the woman I researched. I just was like, here's 2 cases, here they are. I don't know anything or have no credibility related to this woman.
You don't know where she was
born? Nope.
Okay. They're both women. Okay. One of the cool things about Dorothy is that she never pretended to fully understand her gift. What did I say?
She never understood that she was psychic. No.
Okay, this is what I wrote. She never pretended to fully understand and weave her gift. I don't know what I was doing last night.
A weave.
I don't know. She pretty much just described it as a super heightened clairvoyancy. The same clairvoyancy that all people have. But she was adamant that not all people have heightened clairvoyancy. Because if they did, they would use it. And not all people use it. Science.
There's no way to know.
There's no way to know.
Thank you, Amanda.
Fuck science. I'm just kidding. Sometimes you take science, sometimes you throw it out the window.
Depends on my mood. If anyone wants to send us mood supplements, we're looking for sponsors. I will take a mood supplement. Shamelessly plugging for sponsors.
Hashtag help us. In 1979, Dorothy wrote a book called A Psychic's Story, which helped describe and explain her work. Dorothy really came into the public eye when she reached out to police to tell them where to find the body of a missing boy.
I'm going to stop you right there and tell you that's exactly when people become suspects. Just FYI, you may carry on.
Okay, hold your tongue till I finish with this one.
I just wanted to throw that out there in that moment because I knew you were going to clarify it. But in that one moment, I'm like, yeah, when people reach out to inject themselves into police investigations to tell them where a body is, it's usually
really obscure information that happens to be correct. Yeah, it's kind of suspect.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there.
So
have fun. Goodbye.
She said that she dreamed. Now it's going to sound even worse now with this following sentence. She said that she dreamed of a blonde-haired, blue-eyed boy who had drowned and his body had gotten stuck in a drain pipe. The most specific thing about her dream, though, was the fact that the little boy's shoes were on the wrong feet.
If she was a male, they would be arrested. She would be in cuffs.
I need you to get in the car.
Please get in the car.
The body of a young boy was later discovered in what ended up being a pond by a man who was out taking a stroll. All of the details that Dorothy had mentioned ended up being correct. The fact the boy's shoes were on the wrong feet was the most striking detail because he had been wearing like over boots or like these like kind of boots over his regular shoes. The boots were on the correct feet. The shoes underneath the boots were on the wrong feet.
Cool.
It was, it was no sure information something. Had ever been published about this child when he was found, so there was no way for Dorothy to have seen or heard any details about the child, but she did.
Unless she was the killer.
Again, like, that came up, and she wasn't the little boy, I think, had been determined to have drowned of natural causes as much as one can drown of natural causes.
You know, I want to believe that, but this is real fishy. I believe it. I will. I'll even go as far as to say I believe it.
Just because of her other success and stuff.
I do. I just think it's real fishy.
It's sounding creepy.
It's creepy sounding. And I'm sure she wasn't probably in the area. She probably wasn't even eligible to be a suspect. All that shit. Otherwise, this would not be out.
I don't remember when this was either, which is unfortunate for me, what year it was,
but like, if you only had this information, you'd be like, we need you to come in, please.
Could you come into the station for a few questions, please? I need to get a good Jersey accent.
A good Jersey accent? I don't know.
Jersey.
I can only do like Southern English. Some sort of mix.
Not bringing Butterfield into this.
We're plugging Wine and Crime so hard.
Stop.
It's just what we listen to.
That
and Mike and Gibby.
So someone can plug us. Someone quote our funny things. Like, I'm fine.
I'm fine.
Fine.
That should be on our next merch. I'm fine.
I'll make a hat. I need to actually really look into merch because I have the shirts. Like, I have 4 shirts, but I need to figure out how to be able to sell them. Anyway.
I'm gonna wear them around town. Like, when I go out to events in town, I'm gonna start wearing that shirt.
Wear it. It's good. I like it.
I go to the local brewery, wear my spooky sister's shirt.
So, I'm wrapping this up. We're almost done.
Okay. We have so much recording of bullshittery on this episode.
That's why I've already said I'm sorry, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it probably 4 more times. If you're listening, you enjoy it. And you know what you're getting into.
And we appreciate you.
I've been meaning to do this also. I need to rebrand our podcast. And not rebrand it, just like clarify brand it. We're a comedy paranormal podcast.
Was that unclear to anyone?
I know, if you weren't sure of that already, you can be damn sure of it now.
Episode 30, we've really found ourselves.
Really, really finding myself right now.
I'm right here, yeah.
Really discovering who I am.
I'm really discovering where this podcast is going. And it's going down this comedy
central. Going downhill. All aboard the train.
Shugga, 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 shugga. Shit show.
Ooh, that could be another one. chugga.
No, it's shugga shugga shugga. Oh, shugga 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 show. See?
I'm gonna be so bad at editing this later. I'm gonna have to, like,
you're gonna have to drink through your editing.
I am. Bought a new bottle of wine today.
I feel really bad because I feel like I just show up and then give you a bunch of crap and then you have to edit it out.
You kind of do.
But I'm here. And I researched.
At least she's researching now. If you remember from the early days, you've been with us that long.
I'd be
she did nothing.
I had like 3 minutes of stuff to talk about. Be like, and that's like, that's it. Like,
that's it. I'm drinking boxed wine.
And I hate my life.
So many terrible things in that sentence. The boxed wine. The boxed
wine. Oh, those were dark days.
That one, the darkest thing was that was the highlight of your day.
Okay. Oh, now it's just so much. There's just so much going on. With as much as I have going on, I'm still making this happen. So I'm really proud of myself. I don't have as much as you going on.
As much as me. I have a lot of things
you
going
do.
On.
You do.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, I'm like, you still have more going on than I do. I feel like
adding.
Mine's a lot.
I'm adding.
I was subtracting is the thing. I'm subtracting. You're cut out of my life. You're cut out of my life.
I feel like I've done that with some people. I'm actually supposed to reconnect with a friend next week.
Who?
Liam.
Oh, tell him hi.
We haven't seen each other in forever. I need to talk to Sarah in the worst way. Hi, Sarah. I swear I haven't forgotten about you.
Oh, hi, Sarah.
I'm drowning right now. It's fine. I'm fine.
It's all fine. I know. I need to reach out to Christy. I sent her a congratulations, but I need to get her address so I can invite her to my wedding.
Yeah. Christy and her little baby.
I know. My ovaries are so, like, ready to explode at this point. I'm like,
your ovaries can have it.
I'm just like,
my ovaries are fine.
Mine are not. Mine are like, give us a baby. I'm like, let me get married. Then you can have it.
And I will just be the cool aunt.
Until then, I'm consistently asking for another dog. Consistently. Yeah. Like, it's a weekly, multi-weekly adventure of me like, can we, what do you think about this? He's like, can we get married first? Can we just get through that? I'm like,
no.
I'm fine. Because I don't have enough stress in my life. I don't need to. How quickly I've, Deagle's almost won on Sunday, and how quickly I've forgotten the potty training days.
I've literally forgotten the shit.
Cleaning up all of the shit. The nights of being up because Tim can sleep through every little thing. The dog waking up and needing to go pee. That was me at 3 a.m.
I'm just not gonna edit any of this out. Again, I'm sorry.
Just deal.
There's too much.
It's so much.
Okay, let's wrap up poor Dorothy, though, before she gets completely lost in the bullshittery. By the way, this is PG-13. If not R at this point.
I don't think we've said fuck yet, but there's one.
Nothing I have already.
Oh, have we?
Now
it's R.
Two.
Now it's R.
I'm going to put a warning in the beginning of this episode just for that.
I thought there already was a warning in the middle.
I only put a warning in the beginning of the episode for the demonic possession episode because I had recordings of exorcism.
You should just probably put a recurring warning of just explicit vulgarity.
Okay. Spooky Sisters is a vulgar podcast. Please proceed with warning. How's that? Is that good? We'll work on it.
Yeah, I'm like, I like vulgar, but
Spooky Sisters is for adult listeners only. Spooky Sisters is for those with a strong stomach of bullshit. Anyway.
Yeah, like, vulgarity, possibly rated R.
Possibly rated R. Proceed at your own risk. Ooh, no, that one.
Proceed at your own
proceed
risk.
Proceed at your own risk. That goes into the spooky theme. Okay. Poor frickin' Dorothy was also very well known.
Dorothy is a suspect in my book at this
Shut
point.
Up.
I've had so much wine, and my little brain can't handle it. She's a suspect.
Dorothy was well known for working on a case, and that case was a disappearance of Suzanne Jacobson.
Suzanne or Susan?
Susan, you made me mess up this one fucking sentence twice. Dorothy had been contacted by Susan's parents to help with the case after the police had denied it, saying that Susan had probably run away with her boyfriend. Okay.
You know...
Let's rewind a moment. It was May 15th, 1976, and that was the last day that anyone saw 14-year-old Susan Jacobson. She had left her home on Staten Island to go to a job interview at an ice cream parlor. Her parents, Bill and Ellen Jacobson, grew concerned when she never came home for dinner. This concern prompted them to call the police, who were less than helpful. I mentioned earlier, like 5 seconds ago, that they said that she'd probably run away with her boyfriend. It's a really common theme during
this hate movie. That response from police. I'm pro-police. Like, yeah, fully pro-police.
Yeah, I don't think we said that last episode.
Hate that.
100% support the police.
Oh, absolutely. I don't want to do their job. I think their job is absolutely stupid hard. But that's not doing your job. And I don't support not doing your job. Do your fucking job. And at least go interview the parents.
If young girls go missing,
interview,
maybe look into it.
Interview the parlor and see if she even made it there. What the fuck?
I couldn't find anywhere that the police actually did a lot of work on this case at all. So, let me continue.
A 14-year-old? 14? Mm-hmm. She's barely out of being a tween. She ran away off of Staten Island with her boyfriend? How old is her boyfriend?
I'm not sure how old he was.
Was her boyfriend missing? Or did you just assume that?
I don't remember.
Exactly. It's because they didn't research it.
Apparently, I didn't research that much. Okay. After an agonizing 2 weeks of absolutely nothing, the Jacobsons reached out to Dorothy for help, and she agreed. Dorothy hadn't heard anything about the disappearance, didn't know the Jacobsons, and had no connection to the case or family whatsoever. Eerily, though, when Dorothy did arrive at the home of the Jacobsons, she almost immediately asked Ellen, Susan's mother, if there was a significance to the numbers 2, 5, 6, and 2, which Ellen responded with that it was Susan's birthday, February 5th, 1962. Dorothy also claimed to see the numbers 405 as well, and Ellen said that was the time that Susan was born, 4:05 a.m.
Interesting.
Something I forgot to actually write into my notes.
Would that be something she could find on public record, like birth certificate-wise?
I don't know what type of public information was available in the 1970s.
A lot.
I mean, you could go and request anyone's information.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I'm like, is,
I there think wasn't, you can you know, request stuff. No. But there was public record.
Yeah, but that's a lot of work. Anyway, something I should probably say before you start, like, completely tearing apart my freaking case.
I'm sorry, I was a detective in another life.
Is that Dorothy commonly, one of the common things she saw as a psychic were numbers.
Oh, okay.
It was number significance things, along with some other things, but that was a big thing for her specifically.
Okay, I can roll with that.
Okay.
I can roll with that. That's important. I'm just like, that's just really...
She worked a lot with the numbers.
Okay.
The next thing Dorothy asked was what M-A-R meant, if there was a significance to those letters. The family was stumped. They had no idea what Mar could be. Dorothy also claimed there was some connection with oil. Nobody could make sense of that either. Other clues Dorothy could see included two sets of dual church steeples, two smokestacks, a swampy area, and an abandoned car. And with a lot of psychics, they don't get a clear picture. They get flashes and images of things. Like, they don't ever get a full image. Like, if they tell you, like, the set in stone, like, everything's perfect, they're probably fake. In all honesty, they're not ever going to have everything. They only see pieces of information.
Mm-hmm.
But Dorothy also said that she had a vision of Susan being strangled by her boyfriend, which is really devastating news. The Jacobsons still try to go to the police and get them to look into the clues that Dorothy had seen, but they refuse to work with psychics. Which was kind of understanding at the time. This was also before Dorothy was sought out by the police to help with cases. And it was, no, it was fishy. Like, we don't want to look into this shit. They're like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, it's like, they don't have any forensic evidence.
No, there's no evidence. Like, and like, how, what am I going to do? Go look around for fucking church steeples?
I mean, granted, they don't have anything else they're doing on this case, but yeah. Whatever.
They're like,
Just more reason to not look into it, because we don't want to.
Susan's family did take matters into their own hands and searched all around Staten Island for anything that could make sense of Dorothy's clues. Susan's father, Bill, was a huge proponent of this. Like, he spent so long and years, actually, looking for Susan and potentially her body at this point around Staten Island. In Staten Island, around Staten Island. He even expanded his search outside of the island and came across an old shipyard where he did find the letters M-A-R spray-painted on a rock, and he could see smokestacks in the distance, but he still couldn't find his daughter. He didn't see anything, but those were the really specific clues that he did see. So 12 years after Susan's disappearance, a couple of boys were hunting muskrat in that same area where Bill had been and found M-A-R. They stumbled across an old oil drum where poor Susan's body was shoved inside. While you were standing right by the oil drum, you could look up and see two dual church steeples in the distance, two smokestacks, an abandoned car was nearby, and the swampy area helped conceal the oil drum for so many years.
Oh, that's sad.
Her father had been like a couple of yards away from where she was.
Oh, that had to eat him up. That's so hard.
It's devastating, yeah. Susan's boyfriend was later investigated, tried, and convicted for her death. It is believed that he killed her because she was trying to break up with him.
Well, because that's a good reason. People suck.
People do suck. So Dorothy, she worked on so many cases and helped find so many people. She has a lot of failures under her belt, and a lot of police in, I think, Atlanta think she's, thought she was a complete fraud. Based on the things I've heard about her, I think she's real. I mean, it's not a science. It's not 100% of the time, but from what I've heard, I am inclined to think that she's a real psychic.
So I don't understand killing somebody because they're going to break up with you. You're just taking them out of your life the same way they're trying to take themselves out of your life.
It's sometimes done as an accident. It's abusive, like, no, you can't leave me, and, like, they accidentally kill them.
I still think it's like, disgusting. If I
can't have you, no one can.
That's fair. Okay, I'm going to try to do this so you can hear me. All right, so, the murders of Amy Hoffman and Deirdre O'Brien. I think I'm saying her name wrong, but...
Deirdre.
That one. Deirdre?
Deirdre. I would say Deirdre.
Deirdre. Okay. Deirdre. I'm sorry. I'm doing my best. Okay. Amy Hoffman was 18-year-old high school student who was ending her double shift at the mall on November 23rd, 1982, when she mysteriously vanished. Her car was still in the parking lot, with the driver's side door open. There was seemingly no other real evidence at the scene. Her body was found November 25th, 2 days later, by a couple walking their dog. She had been stabbed multiple times and was face down in 4 feet of water in a concrete water reserve. Police were stumped, and it was Captain Jim Moore who brought on psychic Nancy Weber, who he was already acquainted with.
Why do I know that name?
She's stupid famous. She's probably in, like, shows, podcasts. She's done a lot of stuff. She's written a book. Like, she's a legit psychic detective.
Okay.
Nancy was able to win over a few of the more skeptical police officers by informing them of an undisclosed information and even a few things the police were not aware of. Soon after, they went to the scene of the crime together, where Nancy told them, and I quote, "The man who did this, his first name is James, his last name is Polish, multiple syllables beginning with a K and ending in an ish.
Ish.
He came up from Florida, where he had been imprisoned for murder. He lived in the area.
Y'all leave Florida alone.
Poor Florida. Florida has
a good state.
We have such a bad rap, but we're just such a good people. By the way, Bundy came from outside of Florida, you Washington people. So, FYI.
From Washington or from California?
I had one of those. I don't know. Some West Coast.
Some West Coast state.
Some West Coast state, and he brought his crap out here.
Get your ass out of here.
Well, he brought his shit here, and he didn't leave, that's for sure. We fucking took that shit, and we're like, you done.
You messed up, son.
You done messed up. You came
caught, to me. You got caught in Florida.
You got caught in Florida. That doesn't help my case.
We're not rednecks, I swear.
Nancy, I read that paragraph. Unfortunately, before they could catch him, he would kill again.
No.
Deirdre O'Brien was murdered December 5th in a similar manner, being abducted and stabbed. Before she died, she was rescued by a truck driver who she was able to give a brief description of her attack or two before dying. Aww. Yeah, she bled out. Through Deirdre...
Oh, she bled out.
I'm sorry.
So sad.
I'm sorry, I could have said that better. I've had so much wine. I've researched this for days between this and the other one, and then DJs and photographers and emotional trauma. I've been on the computer for so long. It's fine. Through Deirdre's last words and some witness testimony, the police had a description of the car believed to be involved. A turquoise Chevy.
Pretty specific.
Yeah, it's pretty bright.
I mean, I have a pretty bright car, too, but turquoise is even brighter.
Yeah. Turquoise is a pretty specific color. Yours is just blue.
Don't say that on there.
I didn't say what it was. You know what I mean? Blue cars live around anywhere.
Everywhere.
It was actually the killer himself who got himself caught.
Okay.
He had called the police to report that he had been attacked by an unknown assailant. This actually ended up being a false claim. And during my research, just FYI, he was like claimed to be stabbed in the back. I have no idea. I did not have time or the energy to research this claim because I had to get on with the with another case. But
sorry.
Yeah, I don't know whether he stabbed himself. I don't know what the hell. But he claimed to have been stabbed.
If you stab yourself in the back, wouldn't there be a lot of, like, forensic evidence to prove that you stabbed yourself in the back just based on angles alone?
Yeah, you would think. It's pretty... I'm like, I can touch my...
I could stab myself in the back, but I'm like, the angle that it would go in with my right hand, right hand dominant, sorry. That's information I probably shouldn't willingly give out. I don't know.
Do you know how many people are right hand dominant?
Everyone except the left handers.
And there goes a portion of our podcast listeners.
Sorry.
No, I don't think that's relevant or pertinent or even information that can even help pin you to a crime.
Thank God.
There's too many of us right-handed people. To be honest, there's too many left-handed people too. That's just not enough.
True. Okay.
But yeah, I don't know what the hell, but that's what happened. It was a false claim. But the police officer who responded to the call saw the Chevy and the tires matched prints left behind at the scene of Deirdre's murder, so...
Could you see that right off the bat? Like, yeah, those are the same tracks. Like, how...
He probably saw the turquoise and then looked at the tires, and the tires probably had very similar prints. If it's a very specific print or something enough for him to want to tie this guy down...
Probably aren't a lot of turquoise cars out there either, so he probably just went on that.
Path. I mean, yeah, so he arrested the man immediately. The car would reveal
Sarah, can you
to.
Get in the car.
The car would reveal to have fibers that also linked him to both women's murders. Oh, so there was forensics. Yeah. The murderer's name is James Kodachik. Kodatish. He was of Polish descent and had been released from Dade County, Florida, where he had been serving a 10-year sentence for robbery and second-degree murder.
Oh, no.
Just like Miss Nancy Weber said.
Dun, dun, dun!
She didn't help catch him there, but she had relevant information. But because that wasn't enough for me, I had to research more of Nancy Weber.
Everyone's confused, like, are you recording now? Yeah, I am recording. I'm sorry, I decompressed a little bit after work and didn't just jump right into recording. Okay, I'm here. So I'm here at Sarah's house. Let me just start recording immediately.
Be like, I'm here, bitch.
I'm here, bitch. Get in the office. So I was like, I'm being beckoned to come play a game right now. And I'm like,
Give me a second!
I'm literally in the middle of recording, and I hope you hear this, by the way. I'm literally in the middle of recording. What the? It's 9:30. Yeah, I know.
Trust me, I know. My bedtime is in 20 minutes.
Can we finish, please? Thank you. It's fine.
You're interrupting me, but it's fine. I'm fine.
I'm fine.
Whoever you are.
Randy. She glares into the microphone.
Let me finish! Said every woman ever.
Oh. That's just so many turns. Twists and turns of fate. Okay, please finish.
Leave that in.
Could I please finish?
Can I?
Continue.
Okay.
Please.
On to another murder. This one was really cool because I actually had a transcript of an interview to go for this one.
Interesting.
The murder of Elizabeth Gobble. Please don't laugh. This is a victim's name.
I'm sorry.
I can't make it any better. I understand, but I have to throw it out there.
I love it. I'm sure she was a dear.
Elizabeth was raped and murdered in her apartment in 1987.
I'm sorry. Why did you continue? Why do you have to make me look like an asshole? You sick jokes.
That was just literally my next sentence. I just didn't have anywhere else to go. Except forward.
Okay, keep going.
Okay. The main suspect was her boyfriend at the time. But when there were no real links to him or any others that the police were able to link, I don't even know if that sentence made sense. The victim's sister, Grace, reached out to Nancy Weber for help finding leads. Nancy, at this point, had worked with police before. They kind of knew who she was, and she,
The police are like, she's aight.
She's aight. I think it had been 5 years since they worked with her, but they knew who she was. Okay.
I'm just gonna lick the cream off.
What, 87? When was... Oh, yeah. Okay, this is right at... Okay, so they had worked with her 5 years before on Amy Hoffman's murder. Okay, so this is right after Amy Hoffman's murder. 5 years after. I should have done the math before. So, yeah.
We'll never know.
There's no way to know.
We shouldn't steal their quotes.
I love it so much, though. It's such a good quote.
I feel that, too.
I do, too. I'm like,
as soon as I have to do math in front of somebody, I'm like, I don't know math anymore.
I haven't had to use this in so long, I don't understand.
I freeze out.
What's math?
I get nervous. I'm like, I don't want to look stupid, so I'm just going to forget everything I know, so I look stupider.
I just accept the stupid, and I'm like, I have to use my fingers. And sometimes my toes. Never my toes. They're always in shoes.
Knees and toes.
That's what I sing down the aisle when I pull the cart.
Oh, yeah.
Watch your knees, watch your elbows.
Oh, God, I haven't thought about that in over a year.
Yes. Every day that I go to work.
See, I almost run over people.
I'm in first class, though, tomorrow.
Ran into some boxes on a platform in front of the district manager today on one of the lifts. And I'm like, oh shit. I'm sorry. Nothing broke. Nothing fell over. It was fine. It was just embarrassing.
It was fine.
And my boss is like, that's why we call you Crash.
You're like, yeah, that's fair.
I'm like, yeah, I know.
It's fair. I don't mind. I understand.
I'm like, let me grab a ladder.
Just don't ground me.
Let me drive.
Just don't look at my car.
You don't.
Can you hear anything?
Yeah, you can. No, that's fine.
Okay, I've been trying really hard to be real close to this.
She's super close.
I could just lick it.
We're doing a lot of licking in this episode. A lot of licking, a lot of tasting, a lot of tongue.
I've been drinking.
That helps.
It does.
Okay.
Kind of loosens the lips.
And the tongue. And everything.
Yeah, yo.
Onward. Poor, poor
okay. Novel. Yeah, okay, so Nancy reached out. Police knew who she was. No, Grace reached out to Nancy, and police knew who Nancy was. There we go. Nancy always starts off when approached by people by telling them, "Don't tell me." This way she can be assured that connections are made through psychic ability, not assumptions based off prior knowledge.
So good of her.
Right? When speaking with Grace in the first interaction, I just spelled that wrong and I'm just realizing that. Interaction before going to police, Nancy told Grace that she felt that there was a recent tragedy in the family, that it was a loss and it happened in a violent manner. She also noted that the chief suspect at the time, who she sensed was the boyfriend, was not guilty but wasn't able to get a read on the true killer.
Okay.
After that, Grace had the police contact Nancy and take her to the crime scene. And then the rest of this is kind of stolen from this transcript from...
I dig it.
CNN.
Let's go for it. Oh, God, ew.
Listen.
Listen, Linda.
Listen, Linda. It was from... I don't even know. I guess it was just a CNN interview. I don't know. Yeah, I don't... You know what? I was just trying to find shit at this point. It's, you know what? It's not a credible source, but we're gonna roll with it.
Okay, roll.
As we lose half our followers.
Roll away.
You know what, if you think CNN is a legitimate source.
If any of the news sources are a legitimate source, then you need to reevaluate it.
Like, if you think we're a legitimate news source, you should reevaluate.
I'm not giving you news. I'm giving you
things to think about.
I'm giving you spooky things to think about.
Yeah, which you can always research more and then get back to us, which we would love. Please, if we're wrong about something, please let us know.
If that's the only thing you have to email me, then keep it. You know what? Someone can email me something nice.
Nice. Be nice, because it's fine. We're fine.
Tell me what we should drink, because we tried that a while back.
Oh, yeah. You know what? What's a good summer drinky that we can try out?
I'll come back to that. Finish your case. Okay. I'll tell you what I did at work yesterday.
Okay. So this is a quote, and this is Nancy talking. And he asked me if I would come out, referring to the police officer. And I went to the crime scene, and it was still a crime scene. I'm assuming that means, like, they hadn't taken down the tape, cleaned a lot, some stuff up or anything. Moving on. And as I walked in, it was a first-floor apartment. And at the landing of the first floor, I looked up the staircase, and I said, "The murderer lives upstairs." And he looked at me, and he said, "Well, there's a 19-year-old. I said, "No, it's not him. There's an adult. Grace... Wait, you walked into the building, Nancy. The apartment building, the landing, and I saw up the stairs a sense of a murderer. I didn't see anything. I saw an energy that told me, it's the murderer up there. And then I got a vision as I walked into Elizabeth's living room, where I saw 5'10", reddish-brown hair, scar on his right cheek, Western belt buckle.
Okay.
And I went into the bedroom. I didn't tell them at the time... Went into the bedroom and where she was murdered, and I described the rape and the murder in details, and they looked at me, and true to how somebody, sometimes they would speak, they would say, "Confirm, confirm, confirm." I said, "Okay, let's go back to headquarters and talk." So we went back, and I went over what I felt was the murderer, and I said, "He killed her probably around 3 o'clock a.m. or so." And they said, "No, she was killed around 11. I said, "No, she was killed around 3.
Okay.
And they looked at me and said, "Well, there's a man living upstairs." I said, "First name John?" They said, "Yes." I said, "Last name begins with the letter R, single syllable." They said, "Reese is his last name." I said, "That's him." And they looked at me and said, "Do you remember speaking about him before?" I said, "No, but he's a serial murderer and he's tried to kill before and he's killed before." Funny. Okay, so that was the end of her transcript there. I have more. Okay. Funny enough, Reese had passed a polygraph that he'd been given about the crime, but he at the time... Oh, but because the timeline was wrong, he wouldn't have been lying to saying he wasn't there at, you know, X time. Because he had passed the polygraph. The autopsy came back to confirm Weber's claims of the death.
Oh, 3 a.m.
Yep. So the approximation was wrong. The autopsy was correct with 3 a.m., not 11 p.m. So back to this transcript. Weber. Right, exactly. And so Dave Heater and Sergeant Tom Trainer from the state police decided to bring him back in, and they brought him back in. They videoed it. They had no evidence. I told him that there would be a hammer that she was killed with and that it would be in a swamp. I drew where the swamp was. They went and found a hammer with blood on it. It wasn't her blood. Nobody ever did find anything to find out if it matched anyone else.
Okay.
Right? Grace. But they found the hammer. Nancy. And he lived upstairs. Grace, did he ever confess? Weber. Nancy Weber. Fully on video. And that's what I got.
He actually confessed to it?
He confessed on video.
Oh, wow. With no evidence against
him? Yeah. So what I didn't add in my notes was, at first they were like, he doesn't have a scar on his face. She's like, go back and look. And sure enough, it wasn't like some like outrageous scar, but there was a scar on his face. And he did have the Western belt buckle. So, because the polygraph was important, because the guy that polygraphed him was a super famous, you know, polygraph administrator who had never had somebody, who had never failed in declaring somebody being truthful or not.
Well, he wasn't wrong.
No, he was actually correct. The polygraph was still accurate. He was still telling the truth for the questions being asked.
That's also why polygraphs aren't
admissible in court.
Yeah, evidence anymore, because they're so wishy-washy if you don't ask the right question and your specificities of it.
So that's two cases where she had unexplicable evidence.
That's cool.
The second one where she had more evidence to actually lead them to re-looking at somebody they had actually dismissed, which they would never have gone back to him.
They would never have gone back to him. They would have probably either never solved the case or convicted someone innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And he would have gone on killing. That's cool.
So I don't know who, because I finished this like tonight. I don't know who he had killed before, but I'm assuming the hammer meant he had killed some other one else. Which is sad. I didn't
test that against anything else. I know it takes a lot of money to test evidence and everything, and like it's a shot in the dark, but still. What year was that?
87, I think.
I've been going with some old cases lately. Yeah.
82. No, that's old. That's not it. Yeah, 87. Yeah, I didn't find anybody that's like super recent wouldn't be as established right now as these people are for this case.
That's true. I don't know how many psychics are used in today's world.
I don't know.
I think it's super interesting. I wouldn't mind getting my energy read either like in cards or even my palm. Like I have a deck that helps me. It's not an actual like real card deck, but I have like a palm reading type of thing. And from what I've looked, how I've looked through it so far, it's pretty spot on, for at least for my palm. A couple things. It's hard to judge some of the lines, but anyway, that's like different from psychics. But that whole like,
I have so many.
It's okay. It's still there's the. The headline, the heartline, and the lifeline are the main ones that you read, and there's other different amounts.
Oh, I kind of want mine read.
So, unfortunately, some of mine are right, and I was like, damn it.
I keep reading my book on astral projection, and I kind of want to know who I was in a different life. So I'm debating reaching out to talk about maybe trying to astral project.
Okay. Let us know how it goes.
Yeah. I think it would be fun, because I kind of want to learn more about myself, because I don't think I'm a new soul. I think I'm too set in my personality and just kind of my comfort level of who I am.
I think I'm a newer soul. Not brand new, but...
You're probably a newer one.
Based on our conversations before the podcast recorded,
Find yourself.
So...
I'm going to go astral project because I really am pretty sure I was a man in another life. And I think
that's crazy that you think that.
I think I was. I don't think I was a woman in another life. I think I'm a better woman now than I probably was a man. But I think I was a man in another life because I think I have a weird ability to compartmentalize.
You're like, it's fine.
It's fine. Until it's not.
I think I've only ever been women.
Probably.
Maybe a psychic can tell me. I wonder if they have that type of knowledge. If you're a psychic, please email us at spookysisterspod@gmail.com.
We'd love to interview you.
We'd like to interview you. And follow the Instagram at Spooky Sisters Podcast. Look us up on Patreon under Spooky Sisters. There's always a link in the description of the episode. There's also a link in our bio of our Instagram if you really just can't find us on Patreon. Again, we're working on merch still. It's a work in progress, especially while I'm literally working during the progress of all this.
And nobody wants to be part of our Patreon.
We have one Patreon member. Mom's gonna sign up too.
I thought about signing up.
Probably should, because right now I could give you access to the Patreon, but I should just make you pay for it.
I can pay for it.
Give me a dollar. Please give me a dollar.
I can do that.
Holla for a dollar.
Holla for a dollar.
We haven't checked in on Emma podcast-wise lately.
I think she said she was busy.
She's been busy. She's been in helicopters lately.
Oh, bummer.
Bummer. So hard. She looks good.
She did. She looks really good. It's not fair.
I don't know. Maybe we'll post a picture.
Remember when we were 21?
Oh my god.
We weren't in helicopters.
We were in planes. Well, we were flying.
Oh, that's true.
That's true.
Oh yeah. I kind of forgot that that's...
We fly at the age of 21, apparently. Sarah still flies.
Not really willingly.
I drink.
I really...
Oh, that sounds really bad.
Don't fly for my happiness. I fly for my money.
For the money. For the dollars. For the dollar bills.
Yeah. You know what? Look at my boobs.
No, your boobs are out. I'm sorry.
They're not out. You're making people think that like they're out. I just have a lot of cleavage and I cannot help it. And it is hot, so I'm in a tank top.
I'm just going to rub my makeup across my face. I'm sorry. I'm not going to look at your boobs. Okay.
Like, I just am like, wow, that's like a lot of looking.
It's like, they're right in my face.
Silky white bosoms.
With a dark tan line.
Did I show you like a sunburned like right there?
How? It looks like Hickey.
No.
And
that's
I'm
where
that in.
That's where this I got oh, I knew okay. I got a new Cup She bathing suit.
Oh, did you?
I found it. I bought it off Amazon. Cup She off Amazon. Yeah, it's really cute.
If I post my pictures of myself in my Cup She bathing suit, will Cup She sponsor us?
I'll post mine in my Cup She bathing suit.
Can we get sponsored by Cup She?
Yeah, only if we're sponsored by. If I'm going to be putting myself out there.
Half naked for the world to see, I want money. Because that sounds good.
Sponsors!
Somebody, please. Okay, before this gets really weird, because the episode was, like, super normal. Just, like, you know. Hope you enjoyed the episode, all in all. Hope you are still here.
For episode 31.
Yeah, I hope you're still here for episode 30. One.
This is 31. Oh.
No, this is 30. Hope you stick around until episode 31. Hope you're still here for the end of this episode. And share us with your friends, please. And we'll see you next time.
Till then.
Until then.
Stay spooky.
Woo. Ooh.